WildTalkRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
This is WWE superstar, The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best News Show, The Rock.
People are sheep, you understand me? They can't lead themselves, they need to be led. People buy and sell fear. I created war. And I think it's time for the masses to wake up.
Wake up and look at this line they're living in, man!
The world is deteriorating between their toes, and they do nothing about it. They only stand there, they whisper and wonder, but they never do anything about it. But I've seen it all in my dreams and in my thoughts. And above everything else, I understand.
This is not the beginning. Stand.
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
Aw, Puddin'. You know, you've always been pretty, but you've never been the smart one in this relationship.
And TNA.
Look at these bookmarks they found.
My gosh, could two human beings even do that? Hey, but you know, my secretary borrows this all the time. She may have put some of that on there.
Yeah, look at, as a lawyer, you got to be careful with this kind of stuff. Look at, we're buddies, right?
Well, yeah, you and my brother are best friends.
I'm worried about you. I'm pretty much a scientist now. I'm going to help you with this. We're going to get to the bottom of it.
Huh? What?
I'm going to borrow your pad. I'm going to check out the rest of
the pad.
Your flavor, man. I know.
Wait
that.
A minute. Wait.
The bottom of it.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh, my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh, my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yes, sir, three bags full. One for my master and one for his dame. And one for the...
And welcome to the troll edition to The Rack right here on Wild Radio Network. Brought to you, of course, by Eric Bro with pink jumpsuit. I'm, of course, your host, Lindsay Warren. Joining me, as always, is my troll of a producer, Sir Rockin. Oh my god, dude.
What?
That was just wrong.
Why was that wrong?
Y'all, don't ask. Just don't ask. Things happened on Tumblr last night that just... Yeah, I don't even know what happened. They were amazing, but I don't know what happened. But anyway, we are actually brought to you by our good friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, memlanepromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. But I doubt they have anything to do with sheep. At least I hope not.
You never know, but if you go to WWE Auctions, you can get a sheep mask.
Yes, if you do go to WWE Auctions, you can get a sheep mask. The Wyatt family has autographed one of these sheep masks. Christmas is coming up. Hint, hint, wink, wink. If you buy it for me, I will give you my address. Just, you know, not being subtle about that at all.
No, not at all. But yeah, I just had to because, you know, I'm that type of producer. Always on the ball.
Yeah, totally, completely, always on the ball. Yeah, right. He's a jerk. Anyway.
Oh, I'm a jerk, huh? Huh? Really?
You are completely, totally a jerk. Anyway, we are sitting here. We have a lot to get into tonight because, well, we have Turning Point. We have Survivor Series Pick'em. There's rumors of, well, speaking of sheep, a fourth Wyatt, possibly? I don't know. And we also have the Xbox One launch to mock, which is coming live from the old TRL studios, by the way.
Uh-huh.
For those of you that are old enough to know what TRL is. If you don't, Google it. But before we get into all that, we have our question of the night, don't we?
Oh, we're already off the rails. What is your favorite Survivor Series moment?
Rails? What rails? We don't believe in rails on this show.
No, we have no rails tonight. Not tonight. Not at any point do we have to. You know, there's still a studio in Times Square. If you really, truly believe it, it's still there. People do use it.
Yeah, it's still there. MTV, I don't think, has it anymore, but it's still there.
Viacom still owns it.
Yeah, it's blatantly obvious it's the old TRL studio because it's the two windows set up looking over Times Square, and they've got the little platform there still and everything. And all it needs is Carson Daly. Like, seriously, that's all it needs is Carson Daly.
Parsi's not hosting this thing.
He was busy.
Probably. He's a very important man these days on NBC.
He completely, totally is. But yeah, this is just watching this, it's like, really? Really, all of this for a video game. All of it for a video game. That's just, wow.
Hey, at least they're not, have they shown people outside waiting yet?
Yes, they have.
Okay.
They have. And at least Xbox was nice enough to give them hoodies and beanies. And glowing light sticks.
Free swag. At least that's better than PS4, people.
Yeah, well, to be fair, it's probably colder.
Yeah, well.
Because, you know, there's that cold snap that hit the country. Damn you, I shake my fist at you for the 36 degrees. Anyway, let's actually, you know, talk some wrestling.
Wrestling talk. Let's talk some wrestling talk.
So, first of all, we have to get serious for a moment. So, center yourself, because we do actually have some serious news.
I actually did a centering moment thing.
You did a centering moment? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm so proud. We would like to send our deepest condolences to the Vachon family. If you did not hear, sadly, Mad Dog Vachon passed away this morning at the age of 84. And we do extend our deepest condolences to their family in this time of mourning. So, very sorry to hear about your loss.
Yes, very sorry to hear about your loss. Good wrestler, good man. Sorry that he is no longer with us.
Yes, so they're slowly leaving, which is no fun.
No, it's no fun. At least this was not a true wrestling tragedy. He passed away 84 years old. He lived a long, good life.
This is very true. Very, very true. And I really don't have a good transition out of that, sadly. But on a side note, Dean Malenko was sent home due to a health scare. In which he was having heart problems. I don't believe he actually had a full heart attack, but he was having heart problems, and so they actually sent him home off the road because of it.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing WWE is good at that. They see problems, and they try to take care of their talent. And Dean Malenko, another great. And hopefully it's just a little minor thing and nothing too serious.
Exactly, so best of luck feeling better on that one. Dean, we all love you and don't want anything to happen to you, so feel better quickly. Okay, so we've gotten now the serious news out of the way.
Yes.
For the most part.
For the most part.
No offense to the serious news, but let's move on to something a little bit more fun. The other big news coming out this week is that Total Divas is getting a season 2, so that's good news for us at the Rack Extra. We get more Total Divas to recap. Yay!
Oh, and if you thought the first episode of this new season of the Total Divas was anything, wait until you hear our recap of episode 11.
Oh my goodness gracious. Oh my goodness drama. And episode 13, or episode 12, I should say. Yeah. Yeah, I have a funny feeling it's going to be even more drama-filled. They saved all the drama for the second half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, they're back for season 2, and they've already started to film some stuff, so I think they even filmed when they were overseas last week.
I believe so, yes.
So that's a good thing. So Total Divas is coming back, y'all, so be ready.
Yay!
For it. More drama, more recaps. We enjoy that show, and thanks to the folks at E, when you listen to The Rack Extra, you get to hear some, you know, exclusive clips before they actually hit the airwaves the following Sunday.
Yes. And so we're very appreciative to E for that. Thank you very much. And speaking of E and Total Divas and Divas in general, well, the Bella Twins are kind of having a difficulty with their trademark, or at least WWE is. It seems the Minnesota Twins are trying to take the Bella Twin trademark from WWE.
Yeah, the Major League Baseball the Minnesota Twins are in the process of opposing WWE's registration of the term Bella Twins. They have requested an extension and have until February 12, 2014 to file an opposition or request another extension for the matter. I don't know why they would need the Bella Twins.
I don't understand why they want it, other than it's got twins in it and they're trying to snap up everything that has twins. But, yeah, it's like, WWE's held that trademark for seven years almost.
Something like that.
And you want it now?
You want it now? It's like, why?
Why?
It's very curious to know why they're going after the trademark, but
something to follow, I guess. Also, speaking of the Bella Twins, I believe they're doing voice work for the new Scooby-Doo movie. Or was that Flintstones?
They were doing the Flintstones, but to stay on the Bella Twins, happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday to them. Happy birthday to Cassidy Riley. Go to CassidyRiley.net for all your Cassidy Riley needs.
Shameless shill right there. But you mentioned, you know, you were trying to segue into, you know, voiceover work, but people like AJ Santino, Brodus Clay, and even Vinnie Mac are doing some voiceover work for the new Scooby-Doo movie, and they have a title now.
Ooh, they have a title?
It's called Scooby-Doo and the Curse of the Ghost Bear. This will all center around WrestleMania and the gang trying to get to WrestleMania.
Ooh, so Scooby and Shaggy are wrestling fans. Wonder if their favorite guy is RVD.
Yeah, probably.
They can all get the munchies together. Just saying.
Cool.
That was fun to grow. But also speaking of, well, I guess, Vinnie Mac, the WWE 50 Years DVD, I guess that's, or 50 Years of WWE, let's get the title right, was released this week. It was actually released on Tuesday. I've watched at least the documentary. I don't know how much you've watched.
I've watched the documentary.
If you haven't at least watched it, the doc part of it, pick it up and watch it. It's actually a really, really interesting watch. And you get to see how the company has actually evolved, at least from their perspective, over the last 50 years. Mm-hmm. And it's a really nice history lesson if you're a wrestling fan.
It is a very nice history lesson, yes.
And because, you know, as a wrestling fan, I wasn't exposed to a lot of the old school stuff, so I got to see a lot of the old school stuff and kind of how all that happened, at least from WWE's perspective, which was really cool to see, because it's like you hear about it and you try and find it, and then it's like when they actually go back in the tape libraries and they pull stuff so you can see it, that's really cool too. But one thing to note in the 50 years documentary portion is that everybody that appears in it, and there are a lot of names that appear in this, both in new interviews and previous interviews that were taped for obviously the people who have passed on, what is that they have the date from which they were active in the company.
Right. You got guys like The Undertaker, 1990 to present, Triple H, 94.
No. Taker was 1984.
All right.
It's not, it's, all right, in Taker wrestling, they did in, active in the business.
In wrestling. All right, 1984 to present. Hunter, 94 to present. The Rock, 1996 to 2013. Could The Rock be done in World Wrestling Entertainment?
Well, I have a funny feeling that his agents probably don't like the idea of him wrestling, especially seeing as he gave himself a hernia at 29. And that resulted in issues for Hercules. And Lord knows his movie schedule is not lessening by any means. So I would have to say that The Rock, at least for right now, is potentially done and possibly permanently done.
He could.
I mean,
he may make appearances.
What the hell is that? Sorry.
I don't know. Anyway, it's a glowing box or something.
No, what's on top of the glowing box of something? It looks like an evil, deranged Mickey Mouse.
I see that now. I don't know.
I'm scared.
Turn on to Spike TV if you're listening live. Anyway.
Yeah, you're going to get interjections throughout as this Xbox launch
for the next half hour, yeah. All right, anyway, the point of the matter was, it seems like he's done. He may make appearances from time to time, but his active in-ring career may be over, as it were. You never know. He may show up at WrestleMania Wrestle, but at least according to the DVD, he might be done.
I would have to say he's probably done at this stage, just because it's like he wrestled John Cena at 30, or I'm sorry, at 28 and 29. He's nothing to prove at 30. And truth be told, it's like the only person that would be probably worth The Rock's time is Taker. Because mm-hmm. Taker's the only person I think Rock has never faced at Mania. Mm-hmm. And that's something of... They would then have to determine whether they want to break the streak for Rock or if they want to have Rock lay down for Taker. And to me, it's really not worth it to bring Rock in just to have him lay down for Taker.
Right.
So, and you never know, Rock may want to do it, but it's just, yeah, it seems like a waste of everybody's time and money to do that. So, I would have to say Rock is probably done, just at least for right now with his movie career.
His in-ring career may be finished.
Which, if it is, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
He had a good career. He had a long career, and it's sad to see him being done, but it may be time for him to hang up his boots, as it were, and somewhere in Australia, they rejoice.
Yay?
I don't know. But you mentioned John Cena, Lindsay.
I did mention John Cena.
John Cena's been a busy man this week.
Has he?
He's been co-hosting the show Sports Nation on ESPN.
Hmm.
And he filmed a little skit, and you'll be able to see it on the technology player right here on Wild Talk Radio and RackRadioShow.com in just a second, of what he's been doing. And he filmed a little vignette called The School of Flopping. So take a look at, well, this.
Are you sick and tired of looking like a fool when trying to draw a foul? Does chronic bad acting run in your family? If you've said yes to any of these questions, then we've got something for you.
Oh, hello there. WWE superstar John Cena. This is an insider NBA secret. But for years, famous NBA players have been studying tapes of me to learn exactly how to properly flop. And look where they are now. Flopping themselves right into the Hall of Fame.
I don't know where I'd be today without John Cena. That man was born to flop.
You know, I watched a lot of NBA players, and you can always tell who's been through the John Cena school of flopping. Trust me on that.
When you buy the 3-DVD set, you'll get great tips like...
Rule number one, it's not flopping if you believe it. Listen, there's nothing fake about this. All you are doing is simply exaggerating contact. Forward. When I say Mississippi is burning, that's the flop word. Mississippi's burning!
Ah! Come on!
McCluskey, that was garbage! Yeah, you'll sell that, won't you? Always forgotten rule number two. The bigger the yell, the bigger the sell. Unless you want to make some noise out there and let everybody know you're hurt. Like, ow, my eye! Hit. You can spin around. Calamity Jane. Perfect. If you feel it, you're gone. Great reaction time. Well done, Lee Harvey. I believe you acted alone. McCluskey, you're garbage. You're going back to the C school. Excellent job. I like the sound effects and a great flopper. Mentally. We'll just go down. That is an A student right there. It's perfect. But wait, there's more. If you order now, I will send you a personally autographed pair of jorts. And jorts are great for any occasion. If you happen to wade into the shallow end of a pool, your calves will be soaked, but your jorts will be bone dry.
Also, keep a lookout for the upcoming DVD, John Cena's Guide to Getting Ejected.
That's what I'm talking about. My house!
John, that's a little too much. We're just trying to have fun here.
What the f*** are you talking about? That's a call. Look at you in your green shirt, holding your little Nerf basketball. Who the f*** you ever beat? What? I swear to you. I swear to you. I wish horrible, flesh-eating disease on you and your family, but not a disease where you die. A disease where you have to walk the earth mutated as some sort of piece of
Call now. Operators are standing by.
Well, that's certainly not PG.
That was certainly not PG, John. Certainly not PG. He did a good job on Sports Nation. I watched some of it today. He was pretty good.
That was entertaining.
On the previous show beforehand, they did a sort of superhero list, a top five or something, and they did a crossover between the shows. And so it was like, where's Superman on the list? Where's Superman and John Cena on that list? He's calling himself Superman now, folks.
John Cena discovered the internet, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he has. but yeah, it was very entertaining. As the Xbox launch continues, and we'll continue to market here in a bit.
But speaking, I guess, of, I don't know, I don't have a transition out of that, Superman recognizing the internet, whatever you want to call it, kind of two stories that tie in together. WWE announced that the WWE Classics On Demand will be ending, and this is in anticipation of the network launch, which is supposed to take place at some point in the first quarter, I believe, next year.
Yes.
And tying into the network, there is a rumor that WWE may be giving away views of WrestleMania 30 if as a signing bonus to pick up the WWE Network service, which is actually going to cost $9.95 a month.
Well, it's either $9.95 or $14.95. It's two different prices of it that are being speculated about. Let me continue.
And with that, you're supposed to get premium WWE content as well as, I believe, some pay-per-views.
You'll be getting all pay-per-views except for it was originally except for WrestleMania, and it may be just for WrestleMania for the first go-around. The question is, if WWE puts out the network with WrestleMania, are you more inclined or less inclined to buy it?
If you get all pay-per-views with the premium service, I'm more inclined to pay for it. Especially if it's at max going to be $15 a month. That's not too bad.
Think about it. If you're paying $15 a month, and the pay-per-views are, what, 50?
Yeah.
You're saving $35 a month per pay-per-view. That's a deal. Like, between $10 and $15 for the network, I'm all in on that.
Yeah, I was looking at the prices. Like, if they have it cost, especially if they have it cost $10 and they give you all the pay-per-views and premium content, yeah, I'd pay $10 for that. Yeah. Sign me up in a heartbeat. Absolutely.
The biggest risk is putting WrestleMania on it.
The biggest risk is putting WrestleMania on it, but as long as they offer WrestleMania in their normal platforms, it's just the network would be an additional way to view WrestleMania,
All pay-per-views. All pay-per-views will still be on pay-per-view, but if you have the network, it'll be shown on the network.
Yeah, it's something of putting Mania on there as a signing bonus is a good way to get people, because essentially it's you, probably the way that they're going to do it is you sign a contract where you have to keep it for at least a year, and then you pay whatever the price is for that year, but as the signing bonus you get Mania, because a lot of people are going to be like, because Mania costs $70, $80.
WrestleMania is between $55 and $70 depending on what version you get. They're not going to have to sign a long-year contract. It'll still be however your cable service is. You pay per month, $10, $15, whatever the price is. It's just, if they make that move, they lose some money up front, but it might be the long-term gain of the network. Their hopefulness is people don't cancel after WrestleMania because they get it. I would assume WrestleMania is not on the network. For what they do, I think it's a bad move because the following year people will expect it to be on there and it won't be. That's where they'll have bigger problems.
I think it's more if you sign up, I would expect them to do, like, if you sign up, you get some kind of code where you can either stream WrestleMania or something to that effect, where you're able to watch it, you just don't watch it on the network.
No, it's going to be on the network.
Well, crap. I don't know then.
It's going to be, they're going to show it on the network if it's going to be part of the pack, if that's the plan. If not, it's just going to be on pay-per-view as always.
Then I got nothing.
You got nothing. But yeah, if WrestleMania, they put it on, that's a good thing. I'm more curious. I'd rather have it for all the other pay-per-views and not WrestleMania. Because I understand they need to make money. And a lot of it has to do with pay-per-view companies.
Oh, yeah, a lot of it does have to do with pay-per-view companies. I think Mania is going to probably be the one thing that's exempt just because of the cost of it.
Right, because
because
pay-per-view companies make a lot of money off of WrestleMania. It's one of the bigger events of the year. So I don't think pay-per-view companies are willing to give that money up.
Right, and it's something of, even if you still get 11 out of the 12...
That's a deal right there.
That's still a deal. You're still saving money.
And you have the potential to gain a lot more money. Because instead of 100,000 people locally in North America buying the pay-per-view, pay-per-views, now you have, you would hope, 500 to 600,000 people buying the network. You make up money that way.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. So, but they're launching, rumors are it'll launch right after Elimination Chamber, right around WrestleMania. We'll see. If they're doing it like right after Elimination Chamber, I'll just start it for Elimination Chamber, but that's just my thought.
I would agree, but I would bet they probably started closer to Mania.
Probably.
Just to tie in. But like you said, we will completely have to see.
We will keep you up to date right here on The Rack every single time we get some news about the network, because it's been a long time coming.
It is. I'm sure they're ready to see it get launched, so.
Yeah, they hired a new a president or a VP of some sort for the network that's going to work directly, and you know, programming, a VP of programming or a president of programming, whatever you want to tell them, and they will be reporting right to Vince McMahon, so.
Well, no.
So, they have people in place.
They do have people in place, so we'll see if it kicks off, but only time will tell.
Only time will indeed tell.
And finally, our, I believe, last story of the evening, unless you have anything else.
I have one other, before you get to the last story, TNA is going on the road in Huntsville, Alabama for Turning Point. Not Turning Point, Genesis, rather.
Ooh.
In January 16th, they'll be live in Huntsville, Alabama, I believe. Tickets on sale this weekend, so go to impactwrestling.com for more details.
Yes, so pick up your tickets, please. Also pick them up for the one night onlys. Please, support TNA. Get them out of Orlando.
We'll get into that here in a bit.
We'll get into that here in a bit, but last but certainly not least, it was announced that Pat Patterson is writing an autobiography about his, obviously about his life, his wrestling career, and that would actually be an interesting read, given Patterson, given his sexual orientation, as much as I hate to say it.
His orientation, but he has some stories on people.
Oh, trust me, I'm like waiting for 3 chapters of Andre the Giant stories.
Brother Man, yeah. Yeah, that's gonna be, that will be interesting. But yeah, cool, Pat Patterson's working on a book.
So, go Patterson, go! So on that note, I think we should get to our first break of the evening. Thanks so much to PW Mania for all those wonderful stories. Check out PWMania.com for all your news needs. And when we come back, we are going to be talking all about tonight's exciting turning point. What happened? Who won? Who lost? Did titles change hands? Were there any titles on the line? I don't think so. You'll just have to tune in after the break and find out. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh, that's right. Oh, the show was just recently.
It was this past Sunday. A plug into a segue.
Hey, wait. Give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Really? Come on, no.
Man.
Tell us how you really feel, Rob. Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait.
Los Matadores versus the real American. You all
I'm
pick.
Going with that. Never mind, sorry. We're not making
predictions. I see him too, and actually, I was like all excited. Oh, that's so funny.
Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. as luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see, if I'd seen him face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good, I would have picked him if I had seen him. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, that pick, I was going to make picks I've already made picks from. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
Alright, the team has titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Brie Bella. I do remember that.
You do? Brie Bella lost the match with Ace and Rob picked Brie. Sub, you picked AJ Lee.
Oh, God! Get the fuck out! I believe you changed to Cancer Rock. Oh shit, well that's one for me because I'm sticking to my original pick. Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you. I told you I'm my own worst enemy. I'm coming. Just like bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey everybody, this is Joseph Falk from Impact Wrestling, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
I'm a creek swimming, moonshine sipping, deer skinning, beer drinking, Johnny Cash listening.
Radio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. And in case you didn't pick up on what's next, well, we're here to talk to you all about tonight's exciting Turning Point, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. And, well, stuff happened.
Stuff did indeed happen on this return to Orlando, Florida.
That's right. They are back in the new, I guess, temporary Impact Zone?
They're back in the new home for the Impact Zone in Orlando. It's a soundstage 19 on the Impact on the Universal Studios lot. It holds about 700 people.
Is so, it wrong? I kept trying to figure out which end the Astro Crag went on.
No.
Okay, just for those of you that don't understand the reference, it was once held by Nickelodeon Studios, and Guts was shot in that soundstage. If you're old enough to remember Guts.
I think it was the back wall with where the entrance was.
Yeah, I think that's where it was too.
Because if you looked at the way it was set up, the track was probably for Guts was for Guts was all the way around the building.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. And then it's like the Astro Crag went along that back wall because it was only three sides basically.
Right.
Because they only ever had three competitors, and they went up on the back wall. So, yeah. It's like you're sitting there, and it's like, I know it was shot. I know what was shot here before, so you're actually just sitting there trying to figure out the configuration of how it was set up. It's like, I think the pool actually went where the ring was.
I would assume
maybe.
So.
Maybe.
I think,
yeah. I'm pretty sure that's where the pool went, but I could be wrong. Anyway, Impact. If you're too young to know what we're talking about, Google Nickelodeon Guts. It was an amazing show.
It was, and wish they had old episodes. We would review them. That'd be awesome.
I don't think Legends of the Hidden Temple was shot in there.
No, I don't think so. I'm not 100% sure. I think that was
a different soundstage.
Probably.
I'd have to look that up, but no, I don't think that's where Hidden Temple was shot. Anyway, Impact.
Impact. Why are they having a concert?
I don't know. Anyway, Impact. So we start Impact with Samoa warming up backstage. He's getting ready to go out for his match against Magnus tonight. And, well, we see one Dixie Carter walk up. She issues, you know, a little warning to Joe because she rewatched last week's events with Joe and herself, and she's not happy. Not in the least. She didn't like his tone of voice, and she basically tells him that, well, he's going to be a good boy and do as he's told because, well, if he does become her champion, that little match with AJ Styles, she's not going to let it happen. And that he's lucky to be where he is. And if he wants to continue to be lucky, he will behave.
He will indeed behave. Oh, Dixie was her interesting self tonight.
Dixie was Dixie. Thank you to Omega. Legends was stage 18.
There you go.
Thank you, Omega.
We can always count on Omega for references from Nickelodeon's past.
You know, Omega, if you're listening, you could call in since you technically did watch Turning Point.
Shh, you're not supposed to tell anyone that.
But I tricked him into it. After you tricked him into picking for it.
So we had to see if he did. Yeah, I do have a pick'em sheet to go over at the end.
Yeah, you do have a pick'em sheet. But after this, you know, Dixie basically says, well, Joe's just going to have to wait because the crowd wants to see her before they see him. And with that, Dixie Carter makes her way out to the ring. And, well, she had quite a number of things to say, didn't she?
She indeed did have a lot to say.
That's not happening. That's not happening. Foley's going to win.
Thank you all so much. Thank you. I know you people are so excited to have Dixie Carter back in Orlando, Florida. Thank you. I love you too, guys. But speaking of thanks, I have to say a very special thank you to Sports Illustrated, who today launched a major article on me called Dixieland. Loretta, darling, you did great. Wonderful instincts for great material. And you guys check it out at SI.com. And right now, I unfortunately have to address publicly AJ Styles. You hear these people booing you, AJ, right? They are so upset at you for how ugly you are being to me. Ever since you decided not to
look what's happened to you. You're wrestling all over the world for minimum wage. Well, wah, wah, I feel no pity for you. But what I do feel, people, this is what I feel for AJ Styles. I feel disdain, and disdain means ticked off in trailer talk, because he has taken my intellectual property illegally. You all know it. He has taken my intellectual property and misrepresented it around the world, and that stops today. Listen up, I have got lawyers all over the world ready to shut him down, and not one more company is going to make a yen off me again. So AJ, you
hold on. Dixie can rhyme, yo.
She can.
Totally can rhyme.
Better understand the consequences that are coming your way, darling, because they're going to be big.
Sorry.
And you're not going to.
About your damn luck.
Our TNA president interrupted by the man who was not only the target, but also the victim of the attack last night here in Orlando by his opponent later tonight. It's the Cowboy Jay Storm, and he meets Bobby Roode, Bull Rope match, quarterfinal of the World Title Tournament.
Gigantic reaction right here for the Cowboy, I gotta say. Man, he got his butt whooped big time, though, by Bobby Roode, as we saw. Man, if I was Storm, I'd be red hot right now. And he looks it. He's pissed.
Consequences? Is that what you said? Because I'm pretty damn sure that you saw exactly what happened last night when old Cowboy James Storm was sitting at the bar having a couple cold ones. And Bobby Roode wants to jump me from behind to try to cost me my chance in this World Heavyweight Tournament. You see this right here?
Yep.
This is a bull rope. This is your match tonight. The match that the Will of Dixie picked.
Yeah.
Well, to me, this little rope right here is not enough. Because I'm going to use it, but I want to be able to use some chairs, some tables, some barbed wire. Hell, that woman's dentures, if I can get them out of her mouth. That guy's false leg. What I'm saying is, since we're back in Orlando, Florida, I want a Florida death match.
No, 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 no. You don't understand. I don't care about your little barroom escapades. That's on your time, not mine. And the Wheel of Dixie has spun and spoken, and I can't change that now, and I won't.
You can't change it. That's pretty good that you said that, because last night, Orlando Police Department's finest asked me if I wanted to press charges, if I wanted to have Bobby Roode arrested. I said, nah, because that's what an ordinary man would do. You see, I am Cowboy James Storm. I told them I will settle this myself right here in this damn ring, and that's what I'm going to do. And you're going to give me that match, because this is how it's going to go. If you don't, I'm going to pick up my phone and I'm going to call the police. I'll say, yes, Mr. Policeman, come on down here and arrest Bobby Roode. And you're not going to have a match on this show. Your whole Wheel of Dixie tournament is going to go out of control. You're going to have egg all over that little makeup face. And you're not going to have this cowboy in your tournament.
Don't you take that tone with me, okay? Don't take that tone. People, please. People. Listen, you are trying to back me in a corner and publicly.
Did you hear these fans? That's what they want. That's what TNA is all about. It's giving these people what they want.
I do not like that tone. I do not like that tone. I don't like.
You're right. That's no way to talk to a lady.
Thank you. Hurry up, wrap it up.
So I'm gonna ask nicely.
Sure.
Ma'am?
Yes.
Darling, will you please give me this match? Give these people this match. It will benefit you and myself. And I will make the cops go away.
Well, only since you asked me nicely and you call them right now and you tell them that there is not a problem on my show. Everything is perfect here. You got that? You got it?
So you're saying I got the match?
You got the match.
Wow.
It's a PO and a soft-spoken James Storm.
Oh, James.
He has a way with words.
He does have a way with words. He turned on the charm, as it were.
Not really. Because he's standing there and it's like, James, I'm not going to lie, James looked a little rough tonight.
A little bit. Well, he got beat up in a bar last night.
He did get beat up in a bar, but I think he did a little bit too much drinking last night. Just pointing that out. Seems like he's being welcomed back to Orlando in style, as it were.
He is being welcomed back into Orlando in style, but we get a Florida death match, which was interesting. We'll get to that here in a bit. But now the first 10 guys, breaking news, the first 10 guys in the United States are getting their hands, their grubby little hands, on the Xbox One in about 26 seconds.
Dude, there's a chick!
There you go. How about that?
Sweet, there's a chick! Whole bunch of guys and one girl. Represent! Represent!
Now, these people gotta get out of this building safe and secure.
Right?
Like, look at us. We're the ones getting the boxes, and now we gotta get off the stage and get out of this building with our lives intact.
Not only your lives, but your Xbox.
Yeah.
And there it is, people. The Xbox One has launched.
Congratulations, folks.
You stood out in the cold for that, so.
Well, at least these people are indoors. Last week we were watching them. They were all standing out in the cold. At least Microsoft brings them inside.
This is very true. Very, very true. Anyway, back to Impact. So it seems like TNA stepped up the match between Storm and Rude just a little bit, which I applaud. That left us scratching our heads for the rest of the time going, what the hell is a Florida death match? But again, this is the second partner now that James has broken up with where it has ended in a death match. Just pointing that out, which we will get all into that match here in a little bit, because what a match. But, well, Dixie seems to be having none of anybody's crap this week.
No, she wasn't.
So after this, we get the first contest of the evening between Joe and Magnus in their Falls Count Anywhere match. Magnus came out to the ring like a gentleman. Joe called Magnus backstage. Like a, not gentleman.
No.
Punk.
Joe wanted to fight, and he wanted to fight backstage. And this was, ladies and gentlemen, was the first reminder that we're back in Orlando.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the TNA backstage in Orlando. Totally.
Totally.
Totally. Totally. Didn't miss you at all.
Yeah, totally. Really didn't miss you at all. You just, yeah. Welcome back to Orlando, folks. We're back.
Pretty much, yeah.
Though this matchup was pretty good.
It was. This was a very decent match. It's Joe and Magnus. There were a little awkward spots, you know, especially the end. It was a little awkward.
Yeah, Joe went face first into a wedge chair and knocked him out. Magnus won. They questioned, did Magnus win or did Joe beat Joe?
Yes. I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Now, well, let's go to the official pick'em.
Okay.
Three of us pick Magnus. One person pick Joe. The person who lived closest to this match picked Joe.
Well done, Omega! Actually, did he pick everything opposite of Mace just because he could?
Yes.
Okay. We're keeping that in mind, especially since we know he at least was listening at one point.
Yes.
So, after... after this, we see Joseph Park headed to the ring. He looks very worried, but he's ready. He's ready for his match against One Abyss.
Yeah, this was interesting. Before, as he came to the ring, we had Daniels and Kazarian. They came to the ring. They wanted to be up close and personal for this battle.
They did. They really did. They came out and they said they're basically here to watch the melee unfold. We have permission to worship them now. They proceed to take their seats at ringside, complete with popcorn and apple teenies. As Joseph Park comes out, he basically tells them to sit down and shut up, and that for the past 18 months he's been looking for his brother Abyss.
Yes.
And
this is where we have audio to take it over from there.
Oh, we have audio. Fantastic. We have listen for the audio.
Here's some audio right now.
You two hooligans have to say, and I think I speak for everybody here and at home when I say, why don't you two sit down and shut the hell up? You know, for the last 18 months, you guys know I've been looking for my brother Abyss. And after all the trials and tribulations, we've come to tonight, right here, one-on-one, for the first time ever, me, Joseph Park, versus my brother Abyss. Yeah. That'll quell all the rumors and wild accusations going around. But more importantly, guys, tonight I'm doing this for me. I'm going to prove to the world tonight that I'm not a loser. And if that means getting my butt whooped by my brother, then so be it. You can call this my turning point tonight. So Christy, go ahead. Let's do this. Oh, God.
I love the oh, God at the end.
I know. That was tremendous.
The monster, Abyss.
Well, you can certainly sense the concern from Joseph Park, knowing that he's going to face his brother.
So we have his music play. And they played it, got introduced a second time, and, well, there's no Abyss.
Yeah, we're all scratching our heads, wondering where's Abyss?
Where is the monster Abyss?
I don't know where he is, unless he's hauling earring. Christy had to say it twice. He does wear a mask.
No Abyss.
Where is he? Where's the monster Abyss? Where is he? Listen, these people came to be entertained. So listen, fatty, you better do a truffle shuffle or something and start entertaining.
Now, Joseph, usually, in many cases, the story of a man who brings himself up from the bottom, who goes into professional wrestling so late in life and goes from day one of training, fighting his way to become a member of the Impact Wrestling roster. In any other instance, that would be a story of inspiration. But it's not in your case, and do you know why? Do you know why it's not? Because you're not a man, Joseph Park. You're a human waterbed mattress. You're a bag of mayonnaise with a law degree and a cheap tracksuit. These people are booing you because you're a loser. Your brother didn't come out here to wrestle you because you're a failure. And the reason that your mother Bernice, your father Alfredo, your great-great-great-grandfather Jurassic Park, the reason they're not here is because you're an embarrassment to their family. That's all you are. A loser, a failure, an embarrassment. I'm sorry, are you going to cry? Is this the moment where you start to apologize to these people for wasting their time in this ring? Huh? What are you gonna do? Do you wanna hit me? Huh? You wanna be a man? You wanna fight? What's it gonna take to make you a man, Joseph? Huh? What? Is it gonna take me to punch you in the face? Do I have to hit you in the face in front of these people? Oh wait, no. I know what sets you off. I know the moral of this story. We need a little blood, don't we? Okay, well, if blood's all we need, I've got exactly the ticket.
Wow. Dahl. Oh, we talked about how shady, how shifty, bad influence is.
What are you going to do now, huh? What are you going to do? Huh? Show me Abyss. Show me the fire. Show me the fire, huh? Where's the monster, huh? Where is he? Huh? He's not there. He's not there because all that's inside this is a loser, an embarrassment, a failure. You're a waste of space. You are taking up air that real human beings could be breathing. You don't deserve to be in my ring. You don't deserve to be in the same state as us. You don't deserve to be on this planet. You should just get out of my sight this instant. Get out of my ring now. Yeah, that's right. That's right. You waste, you human excrement. Get out of my ring. Get out of our lives. Stop wasting another second of our lives with your existence. Get out of here and don't come back. Keep moving. Get out of here.
Listen, you tub of goo. Get out. That's not ketchup. Don't eat it. Go clean yourself up and get out of our business.
I don't.
That was
actually, it was dyed corn syrup, but
yeah, that was disappointing.
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, I would agree. That was we didn't know what to expect, and we didn't know how they were going to do this. And I think just having bad influence walk out there and run Joseph Park down really kind of killed the segment. I mean, don't get me wrong; they did a really did a really good job of it. But you're standing there, and it's like, obviously the point is to make you root for Joseph, which is what we started doing, because it's like, come on, Joseph, stand up for yourself.
Right, but it just sort of was like, you wanted to see what they would do. There was intrigue, and it was just, came off very flat.
Yeah, it was something of, okay, is this how they're going to do the reveal, where we finally find out that one is in the same, like, you could have had them, you know, running down Joseph Park to Abyss, and then you have Abyss take the mask off, and it's the same person. Like, that would have been better than what
saw. They did a good job with what they did, but it just, I don't know. Be a star, man. Be a star.
Yeah, this is something that it's like you have them continually running him down and beating him down and bullying him, and it's like, I guess. And also, this kind of left you wondering, well, is anything else going to happen with this the rest of the night? And unfortunately, nothing else happened, at least on this show.
No, and all they did on the second screen experience, the few seconds I did see it, is he just walked out of the building.
Covered in blood.
Mm-hmm.
They carried him, basically.
Pretty much, yes.
Which, we all know how that movie turned out.
Yeah.
So, we'll have to see if that's what happens.
And officially, Ace and Omega got that wrong. We picked no contest.
Ha ha!
I'm going by the official sheet that I'm looking in front of. That, by the way, King Kansas was a piss poor job on a sheet. There was not even a document. You just copy and pasted it into an email. Fail, sir. Fail.
You getting lazy.
Lazy, fool. Lazy.
Anyway, after this, we have Gail Kim come out with Lady Tapa to issue her open challenge once again. Candice LeRae, I believe that's how you say her name?
LeRae,
sorry, answered the call, and Gail Kim won.
Gail Kim won. She Googled her before the night before because she found out she was a blonde, so she Googled her. Gail Kim likes blondes? I don't know. Maybe.
Well, Lady Top is blonde. Just pointing that out.
Yeah, she is blonde, all right. Yeah, Gail Kim won. Nothing. Candice was okay, and it was a quick match. Nothing.
She had nice energy.
Nice energy. Nothing special, though.
Yeah, nothing to write home about. After this, we see James Storm gathering weapons for his match later with Bobby Roode. And, well, he's grabbing everything under the sun he can possibly get.
Including crutches.
Including crutches, so proves it's a Florida death match right there. We see another video from the friends of AJ Styles, this time his trip to Japan.
Jay Bradley was the one recording all this footage, apparently, because that was what it said on Impact's YouTube channel. So friends from Japan, from friends of AJ's got this on TV. Yeah, he won, and he pointed out that she will never know what a real champion looks like, and that's him. So, you know, simple, effective, keeping the storyline going.
It's a nice use of the service. Mm-hmm. Just like another nice use of the service was the bar fight between James Storm and Bobby Roode.
Yes, yeah, that was a really good job. I enjoyed that. That actually caused some buzz around parts last night.
Yeah, that was really well done. After this, well, or after the video, we see JB. He's backstage, and Mr. Anderson is with him. Very simple promo. Basically, Bully tried to take everything from Mr. Anderson, and, well, Anderson's in a taking mood, so he's going to take everything from Bully and end the Aces and Eights once and for all.
Pretty much.
Strong words. Elsewhere backstage, Storm and Gunnar are talking. Gunnar basically tells Storm, you know, you don't need all the weapons for Bobby Roode. And Storm's like, yeah, you're right. I don't need them, but I want them.
There's a difference between need and a want.
Yeah, and he wants the weapons badly.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Storm appreciates Gunnar being a partner and a friend. That was something Bobby never was. And Gunnar tells Storm that he's got his back.
Pretty much simple, effective. Many people went heel turn.
Well, we'll have to see, because up next is the Florida death match between James Storm and Bobby Roode. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. This had to be match of the night.
Simple match of the night. He went after the robe.
He did go after the robe. He hurt the robe. James! You hurt the robe. Why did you hurt the robe?
According to Taz, it's a $5,000 to $6,000 robe right there. Don't go after the
robe. It's a pretty robe. Don't hurt it.
Lindsay likes the robe.
It's sparkly.
The fans were into it. It was a really, really, really fun match. They beat the crap out of each other.
Oh my god, did they ever?
They started beating crap out of each other. There was Bobby Roode got a last call. He ran, fell out to the outside, ended up grabbing a beer bottle, hitting Storm in the head. That gave him a gusher a little bit, knocking him out. And Storm got up right before
because that looked like it was a legit bottle. That didn't look like it was a gimmick bottle.
He got up at the very last second before the 10 count. You know, Bobby Roode did everything he could to keep him down, including Superman's move, the AA, through a couple of chairs.
Ow!
So, apparently James Storm is able to get up from an AA before 10. And then Bobby Roode, well, he went really hardcore. He went underneath the ring and pulled out some barbed wire. Yes, barbed wire on the wood board. Put in the ring, was about to get Storm up in position to put him into the barbed wire. Can't say through because you don't break anything, but into the barbed wire. But out came Gunner, towel in hand, and he throws in the towel before Bobby Roode can put Storm through the barbed wire.
Costing Storm the match,
and Bobby Roode advances in the world title tournament. It was an interesting twist. but, you know, wasn't expecting it. When we came back from break, Storm was really upset and just asking, why? Why did you do it? And Gunnar basically explained he's out looking out for Storm.
Yeah,
he actually cares.
Pretty much, yeah, and it's something of Storm just wasn't having any of it. He yelled at Gunnar. He shouted at Gunnar. He just, like I said, he had major problems with it because, well, that means this was a twofold for Storm because it's like he didn't get his revenge on Roode even though he got to beat the crap out of him for a little bit, and that also kicks him out of the title tournament. So no World Heavyweight Championship for one James Storm, unfortunately. One day, I hope soon, his day will come, please God.
Now, Lindsay picked Storm, got that wrong. I picked Roode, Mace picked Storm, he got that wrong. Omega picked Roode, he got that right. And now Lindsay's winner of the entire thing. James Storm is no longer part of the part of the process.
I'm going with Magnus.
She's changing her pick to Magnus.
Hey, you know what? I reserved the right to repick last week, and I already called my shot last week. I said Magnus.
I know. But yeah, so there you go.
So there you go, and I knew Storm was going to get eliminated, but you know, there's this small hope in your heart that, you know, he might actually win and move on. But no, not going to happen. Sadly. So after, you know, the anger unfolds of Storm, we cut to the home of one Sam Shaw, where Christy Hemme is touring his house. He asks her to call him Samuel, and then he asks if she would like to see his art book. To which I typed in the chat, it's portfolio!
It's an art book.
It's a portfolio, that's what you call it, dude. Anyway, he proceeds to show Christy his artwork. She's really impressed, and rightfully so, with some very nice artwork. But he stops for her before he gets to some really, it looked like, dark pieces. And then he, you know, they cut for the service, because they're taping for the 24/7 service. And Samuel, proceeds to ask Christy out to a nice restaurant. She gives him her phone number and then leaves. And, well, we see Sam, you know, he arranges things back the way they were, very, very OCD-like, where he's very particular about where the pins and the paper are.
ProWrestling.net tweeted the following, and I can't honestly agree with this more. Okay, so we learned Samuel Shaw has OCD, and he's going to screw Christy Hemme. How does this make anyone want to see him wrestle?
I think they're going a little bit with the creepy, possibly American Psycho kind of character, where he's not what he seems to be, because he was very, very well groomed. He had his hair basically slicked over. He looked very, like, you know, the average nice, in quotations, normal guy, and there's obviously something dark laying underneath that nice exterior. So could we see Sam Shaw, you know, maybe doing more of a psychopath type gimmick?
Possibly.
Or, gee, I wonder where they would get that from.
Oh, don't get me started. I have a rant coming up here in a few minutes.
Just saying. That's not the first time we're going to point that out tonight.
No. But I have a rant, so be ready. It's coming in a few minutes. So anyway.
Anyway, after we see Mr. Creepy Man, we cut to the backstage where we see Nora Ferdum and Dewey Barnes. They're, you know, they've flown in for Impact. They're so excited, and then in walks EC3. And he basically tells them that, you know, well, he flew them down here, coach, mind you, to let them know that, well, basically they're losers, and he's done with them. You know, he's moved on. He's found, you know, a more worthy competition because, well, if they wrestle one more time, it's just going to be completely awful.
Yeah.
So, basically, EC3 gives Norm and Dewey the kiss-off, which makes me very sad because Norm and Dewey are kind of awesome. And then we cut to another part of the backstage where Brooke interviews Bully. Bully basically says, you know, he made Anderson, now he's going to end him. Very, very simple, basic promo.
Simple, basic promo. He said he would take care of Anderson's pregnant wife after he pile drives him through the stage tonight.
Pretty much, yeah. Nothing too exciting.
Nothing too exciting about that one.
Yeah, so, eh.
Eh, it is what it is.
We come back from the break, and Angle is backstage talking about Magnus. He's interrupted by a staffer who tells him that Dixie wants to see Angle right away. Angle then gets up and walks off to go see Dixie. After that, we get EC3 taking on a TNA original, a man who helped...
Hold on, before you get to it, don't say the person's name yet. All right.
A TNA original, a man who helped build the company.
The one, the only... Oh, shell yeah.
Shark Boy is back, and oh my goodness, it was wonderful to see him again. I love Sharky so much. He didn't bring his big fish this time.
There was no big fish, but oh my god, Sharky was back.
Sharky was back. He was in rare form, and sadly, he wasn't on our TVs nearly long enough as EC3 dispatched him relatively quickly.
They did, sadly. It was a shame. If you haven't, by the best part about Sharkboy returning was his Impact 365 skit.
Oh my god, that was genius!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, go watch it tomorrow on their YouTube page. He quits his job and says, you know, I got a call from TNA and I'm going to be back and I quit this job and, well, if it doesn't, it's only one night only thing, well, I would like my job back.
Yeah. It's simply amazing and epic and awesome sauce, and they need, we need more Shark Boy.
Shell yeah.
So anyway, EC3 picks up the victory. He then gives his little spiel, you know, because I'm a Carter and the world needs us. Yay. After this, we get the Anderson Bully recap before we get kicked to break, and then when we come back, well, we see Bobby Roode and Kurt Angle intently staring at each other in Dixie's office. Dixie is trying to get their attention, but, well, they're having none of her.
All right, all right, can I interrupt now?
Yes.
All right. Because this is where the rant comes in.
Well, I hadn't even gotten to the part where, you know, you could rant, but go ahead.
No, okay. So, everyone knows next week is Thanksgiving. By the way, we're not on air next week because it's Thanksgiving. Just FYI. But we have an awesome announcement to come about next week, so stay tuned. That being said, she's presenting Dixie Carter's Thanksgiving next week. And since these two have a great rivalry, they're going to be captains of two four-man teams. And it'll be a 4-on-4 elimination match next week, Team Angle versus Team Roode. Boy, I wonder where they got this concept from. Huh. Sunday, what's the event called? Survivor Series. Right.
Well, no, this is completely different because it's 5-on-5.
No, this is 4-on-4. This is 4-on-4. Sunday's 5-on-5.
Right, but, you know, this is completely different than Survivor Series.
TNA. You try to do so many things right. But you're stealing ideas left and right. The AJ storyline, you know, in comparison to CM Punk. And now you're blatantly ripping off Survivor Series. Not even 4 days afterwards. Not even 4 days after the actual event. Are you kidding me? It's a Thanksgiving. You want it as a Thanksgiving thing. Boy, I wonder what happens when WWE used to run Survivor Series on Thanksgiving. Oh, wait, they had the 4-on-4 and 5-on-5 elimination matches. That's right. God damn you, TNA. I want to believe in you, but then you do this. Why? Come on, TNA. Really? At least be creative. Team Angle versus Team Roode. The match will be great. It will be awesome. But it's fucking Survivor Series. I'm done now.
I know. It's, yeah, when she said that, it's like, wow, that sounds really close to Survivor Series. And, you know, I know WWE does not own the concept of a 8-man elimination or a 10-man elimination or any number of man elimination, but it's like Survivor Series is Sunday. It used to be on Thanksgiving, and you're going to do a multi-man elimination match. That's like, yeah, that's just not even cool. You know, it feels a little lazy, and there were a couple things that felt really lazy tonight about this show. I'm not going to lie, and I hate to go negative on it, but yeah, that when she said that, it's like, really? That's what you're going to do? Oh, okay. Oh, all right. So I'm curious to see the spoilers. I'm curious to see how this comes out. But anyway, we're going to have Team Roode versus Team Angle in a 8-man elimination tag next week on Impact.
It's a TNA original.
After this, we get your final contest of the evening and your main event, where Bully Ray is taking on Mr. Anderson. If Bully wins, Anderson is gone from TNA. If Anderson wins, Aces and Eights must disband. And this match is no disqualification.
The match was fine. It wasn't, you know, the epic conclusion you were expecting between the two, but the match was fine. They teased a couple spots on the outside being pile driven into the to the ground. Knox interfered and got driven into the ground, the concrete, as it were, by Anderson, who then pulled off the jacket. And then we finally had Brooke grab the hammer from Taz, try to get the bully. Anderson got it. Bully gets hit in the head with a hammer. Mic check. 1, 2, 3. Anderson ends the aces and eights.
To the applause of everybody in the TNA roster, to the applause of the crowd, aces and eights is gone. After the match, we see Bully laying flat. Anderson strips him of his cut. He then asks the TNA superstars who have gathered on the stage to watch the match to get the cuts of Taz and Nux, which they proceed to do, and Anderson stands tall in the ring, holding all three cuts victorious over Bully to close tonight's Turning Point pay-per-view.
This show was alright. You kind of knew the finish, kind of knew what was going on, as we all picked Anderson, but Omega, tipped for the victory, so. Yeah, it was what it was. It was a TNA event. I hope they have better things planned for the future. But I will give them this credit. The Impact Zone did not look like the old Impact Zone. That was what I was worried about. Besides backstage, this was fine.
Yeah, it's a longer soundstage than what the Impact Zone was. They tried to keep that arena feel, and they did a semi-nice job of it. It's just, it's kind of one of those things when they did those pan-up shots that you could see the ceiling of the soundstage. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh yeah, they're not in an arena. So that was the only thing, but they did it. They kept the same look and feel Impact has had, pretty much. There were a few moments where you knew they were in the Impact Zone just based on the crowd. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I think it was fine. As far as the show went, the show was just very meh to me. All credit and royalties go to Mace. It lacked
some fire, it lacked some intensity. It just didn't have that live feel to it.
Yeah, it was a good show. They did a nice job with it. Storm and Rude was completely off the chain, and I applaud them for it.
You said off the chain.
Pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as far as the rest of it, it was just like, it was just okay. You know, there wasn't anything.
There was nothing noteworthy. We all knew the ending of the Aces and Eights was coming, and so it was just, well, it was a show. It wasn't the worst show, it wasn't the best show, it was a show.
It was a show. So I'm curious to see how next week's turns out, and also the following week, because I believe they're actually taping 4 weeks of TV in the next couple days.
So we'll see.
So that is your Turning Point Impact review. How did we do in Pick'em?
5-0 was me, you were 4-1.
Damn you, Storm. Let me down!
Let
me
down. Yes, the Aces and Eights died with a whimper. Yes.
Yeah, and that was kind of disappointing. It's like the Aces and Eights storyline was such a strong story for them for so long, and they just let it die with a whimper, and that was really kind of depressing.
Yeah, by the end it was all like, okay, it's coming to an end. You saw the writing on the wall. It was over and done with.
Yeah, it's like once it's down to three people and Brooke, it's like, yeah, it's nothing now. So that was a little disappointing. But, you know, bravo to TNA for doing an 18-month storyline with the Aces and Eights. Mm-hmm. I mean, completely bravo to them. I know that had to be extremely difficult to keep that going for 18 months. So good on them for doing it.
Yes. Good job.
So on that note, we are going to take our final break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be talking all about, well, is there a fourth Wyatt in store? There are rumors spreading, and we're going to get it all into them. Also, we've got Survivor Series. Breakdown and pick 'em.
And an awesome announcement.
Yes, and an awesome announcement. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply DaBomb.com.
You know, the more things change, the more things stay the same. For as long as the internet wrestling community has been around, there have been people and internet radio shows that will bitch and complain about every little thing they see. Well, the crew over at WrestleTalk Radio are trying to change that by highlighting the positives of each and every WWE and TNA event. These wrestlers put their body on the line to entertain us each and every week. So how about we praise them instead of bitching about the little things that get to us? So with that in mind, you should come listen to WrestleTalk Radio, Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, or right after any WWE or TNA pay-per-view, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Because this is how we say thank you to those that entertain us.
Your ass better call somebody!
It's me, it's that D-O-double-G mobbing once again with Wild Talk Radio. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for ya. Suck it!
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. It's a new day, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. It's a new day, you know how I feel.
Wild Talk Radio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at PW Mania and Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com and PWMania.com for all your news and memorabilia needs. So we're going to take a break up for a little bit. We're going to have a little bit of fun. And when we come back, good Lord, we're just going to go do Tweet of the Week. Just do it.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
I have a bunch, so go for it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, and I think I stole some of yours, so.
Probably.
So, all right. AJ Lee, huge congrats to my adopted son at Big E Langston on his IC title win. However, it's still entirely your fault your dad left us. Dolph Ziggler, congrats to my love-slash-hate child, Big E Langston. You got your mother's winning genes, and the pecs are from my side, obviously.
Before you go, I want to throw one in there that started this whole chain. Congrats to my former arch... This is from Caitlin. Congrats to my former arch nemesis. This better not go to his head. Hashtag don't big leak me.
Oh.
Anyway, continue.
To which Big E responded to AJ and Ziggler, to AJ, your Tiger Mong-like drive pushed me to this point at WWE AJ Lee. I'm also so much better at math. And to Ziggler, he said, thanks for all the fatherly advice at Heel Ziggler. I never knew there was so much to learn about sowing one's wild oats. And that's all I got, so.
That's all you got? Okay. Slow week for you?
Mm-hmm.
All right, not Bill Walton. Things that are hideous to see, but you can't pull your eyes away from. Train wrecks. Tony Romo in the fourth. And Russell Westbrook's wardrobe. Waits for it. Anyway, Big E Langston, really dope, raucous crowd for WWE Marcelli. There you go. And your women smell lovely. I checked. It's Bailey WWE. Between WWE Daniel Bryan's new ponytail and Brie wearing a headband, I'm beginning to think they may want to be my friend. Oh, Bailey.
I dare you to hug Brian Bailey. I dare you to do it.
I dare you to rub the beard. Ruben Frank of CSN Philly here. Foles loses a touchdown. Could hurt his Hall of Fame chances. Michael Wilbon. First thunderclaps cheered by Bears fans at Soldier Field. We're twisted people. Radar shows 6 tornadoes in the area. Amy Jacobson. I don't know who she is. But she tweeted, was just told by Soldier Field employee that concessions were stopped because too much beer was being sold. Good job, Chicago. Les Bowen, a reporter here in Philadelphia. You guys laugh all you want. When the NFL outlaws forward passing, this Redskins offense will be state-of-the-art. Bob Brookrover. Michael and Kyle Shanahan have not yet discovered the forward pass. Richard Roper, 2 hours and 35 minutes after the opening kickoff. The first quarter is over. Some Bears fans well into their hangovers by now. Not Bill Walton. Geno Smith was 8 for 23 with 103 yards, no touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. It's official. Geno can finally call himself a Jets quarterback.
Well done, Geno.
Caitlin, this year, all my loved ones will be getting gifts from Sky Mall. Pretty sure my mom has been hinting at a 10-foot ceramic garden gnome for years. AJ Lee, over 10 hours of flying, I still went to the gym. I feel the need to share this on Twitter because I wasn't hugged as a child. Caitlin, stuck on the runway because of the torrential downpour in Nashville. Nashville, don't kill my vibe. Gently sobbing into hair. William Regal, left Manchester this morning and just passing Manchester, Tennessee. Hi, Diddly D, a wrestler's life for me. Not Bill Walton. Tom Brady is going off on the refs like he was Tupac ranting about Big E in the Hit 'Em Up video. I am enthralled. Not Bill Walton. So let me get this straight. You can't tackle a quarterback by his shoulders, but you can hug a receiver in the end zone. Gotta love the NFL rulebook. Not Bill Walton. The special irony watching Patriots fan comically complain about a defensive back mugging their receiver. Not Bill Walton. The difference between David Stern and Roger Goodell is that Stern would have had the refs redo the play over and over until Tom Brady scored. Biggie Limbs Langston. Happy to see Xavier Woods finally debuted. Dude is a credit to his doctorate program. Fun fact from SportsCenter. Fun fact: Jeopardy used the Houston Astros could have used one of these in a clue yesterday. The answer: what is a blowout preventer? Ouch. Not Bill Walton. I can't believe Kanye West released a video on Ellen. Then again, I can. Dr. Dre and Mr. Ed Lover would have laughed him off. Yo MTV Raps. Now, for those who don't remember what Yo MTV Raps is, Google it. It came long before TRL. Ryan Rosilla, what if people hit the Mayday button on the Kindle Fire just because they are lonely? It's going to happen. True Kofi Kingston, I'm eating egg sandwiches and waffles in the dark while Hornswoggle sleeps. I feel this used to be the other way around. AJ Lee, hey Caitlin, if we're going to be teamies, our pass should be water under the bridge. I forgive you for taking my cardigan without asking. AJ Lee, that's what we were fighting about, right? I forget, at Caitlin WWE. John Report went, that's so kind. Now if Caitlin can forgive you for making her cry all the time, then that's just wonderful. AJ replied, I don't recall. And finally, the Fans Podcast. A Florida death match should be a race through Space Mountain, wrestle an alligator, and punch out Donald Duck. # turning point. There you go. Tweets of the week.
We're going to start limiting you because you have a lot.
You can't limit me. You just need to get more so it bounces out.
Uh-huh.
I can give you some of mine sometimes.
You did give me some of yours this week. I didn't have any because you keep stealing them all.
I don't keep stealing them all. I just happened to grab them from the Twitter. What do you want from me?
# Twitter hog, y'all. # Twitter hog.
By the way, still a comment. Awesome announcement.
Yes, but now we're going to get into a little discussion because, well, an interesting news story broke out, and it definitely got the Wyatt fangirls up in an uproar.
Tumblr was all a craze.
Tumblr was all a craze. People were going nuts because a rumor broke that there was potentially going to be a fourth Wyatt added in the near future, and I believe it was Judas Devlin. Mm-hmm. On the NXT roster, tweeted something about Sister Abigail, which, you know, sent everybody into a tizzy when he did it. And a lot of people were for it. A lot of people were against it. Some people just don't care because they don't care about the Wyatts. And Rock and I had an interesting discussion about this where, you know, we kind of sort of basically came to the conclusion that a fourth Wyatt really isn't needed or wanted at this stage.
No, it's not needed at this point. If you really look at the Wyatts right now, it's a three-man group. And if you look at the entire WWE roster, a lot of groups are three-man. So adding a fourth right there just throws everything in a whack. Then you have to become a four-man band and a four-man shield, and it's a whole mess, and you don't really need it. Now then, you look at the Wyatts. They're not your average Joes. You look at this guy, what was his name, Judas Devlin or something?
Yeah, Judas Devlin.
Judas Devil. You look at him, and well, let's be honest. He has a ripped stomach. He's all muscular. He sort of doesn't fit the part. He just doesn't have a look. If you look at the Wyatts, they're all different types and sizes. You have Bray Wyatt. He's 6'3", 300 pounds. All right, 285. because WWE.com's generous. I remember the weight. There you go. How about that?
There you go.
We had this whole thing. We were looking up weights and stuff. And then you have what? Harper is 6'5", 6'6", something like that.
Harper is 6'5".
6'5", 260, something like that. 260, 270, maybe even more.
Yeah.
And then you had Harper, Rowan, who's like 6'7", 6'8", 300 plus pounds. And they all have a shape to them. They're all different. They're a little bit, Harper's a little grungy. Rowan has the beard and the mask and that sort of thing. They have unique looks. And then when you add someone who looks like, if you look at the guy, you can Google his name, and you just look at him, he looks like a guy WWE would push as a guy, a mid-card guy, an upper mid-card guy. He has the WWE look. When you look at the Wyatts, they don't have the WWE look, and that's what makes them different. So if you add a guy with a WWE look, who's the focus going to go on to? This new guy. Then, again, if you look at the Wyatts, they haven't fully developed who they are. And if you keep adding people, it'll become sort of like other groups in the past where you just add members to add members. They're not. You have to establish these three guys. And that's one of the things that makes the Wyatt family special is that it's three people. Three unique looking people. If you add people, I told Lindsay, if you add somebody, it needs to be a guy who would be Bray's bodyguard type. Like a 7-footer who, when if you push Bray on his own in a singles capacity, you leave the other two for tag, would be his protector. Someone like Eli Cottonwood, I think was the name bandied about, if he's still around.
Yeah, I brought up Eli Cottonwood because when Bray Wyatt first debuted as a character, he had Eli Cottonwood as a follower, but he was not officially a member of the Wyatt family. He sort of hung around with Bray. But my issue with giving Bray a bodyguard is that weakens Bray, because Bray shouldn't have a bodyguard. Bray should be able to stand on his own, especially since the two guys that follow him are bigger than him.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing if Bray was the leader and he was the biggest guy in the group, then yeah, sure, it's okay that he has a bodyguard because the other two don't have the potential of beating the crap out of him. Harper and Rowan could easily take out Bray. Very easily, especially Rowan, could easily take him out. So giving him a bodyguard weakens him, and it would weaken him in their eyes, and because he's such a controlling character, he can't look weak.
Right, right. I get that, and I, like I said to you before, and I'll say it again, they don't need him, but if that's the type you were going to add, that's the type, in my eyes, that would work. That's the only type. But if you add another guy, normal size WWE build guy, then you're just WWE guys called the Wyatts, not the Wyatt family with unique look and stuff.
Well, it's something, too, of the Wyatts were short of, if you know the story of the gimmick, the backstory on the gimmick, Bray Wyatt got hurt. He tore a pectoral, I believe it's a pectin muscle, and they wanted to keep him on TV, so they needed to give him something to do, and so you had Bray Wyatt form the Wyatt family and the fact that he adopted Harper, and then he adopted Rowan, and that's how the Wyatt family was born, pretty much in a nutshell. And so over the course of the time that they've been together, which I believe is a little bit over a year, that they've all three been together, They've really sort of honed and developed the gimmick to where it completely works for all three of them. I mean, you can tell all three have input, all three put what they want to put into the gimmick, and they all three work together to make it successful. Because it's, as we were saying the other night, if you look at the Wyatt family as individuals, they probably would not be able to get over on their own.
No, you can't have one without the other. You can't have Bray without Rowan. You can't have Rowan without Harper. You can't have Harper without Bray. They all need each other to succeed. One on its own is not, it won't be successful. If you put Bray on his own, if you just debuted the guy Bray Wyatt, he would be Wayland Mercy and have no career. A guy with a following like the Wyatt family, they all need to be together to have success. If they're broken apart, things won't be good for them.
Well, it's something of when they finally do break them apart, they will all three hopefully be established in the company enough that they can move on with the gimmick. Because it's something of Harper's probably already being eyed for a singles run.
At some point down the line, probably.
At some point down the line, they are eyeing Harper for a singles run. They can see the potential in Harper. Rowan, I don't know. To me, it seems like he needs a little bit more work, actually a lot more work, but it could just be the in-ring style he's adapted. And Bray's Bray. And I'm more curious to see where Bray Wyatt goes after the Wyatt family and how that character develops and changes over time. Mm-hmm. But to add the fourth, it just, to me, it would severely throw the dynamic off for the group, because it's something of the three of them are together, the three of them work together, and to bring that fourth member in, it's like, what would that do to Harper and Rowan in the sense that Bray finds somebody, he brings a member into the group, and he spends all his time obviously trying to get that person acclimated into the group. What does that do for Harper and Rowan? Does that cause them to distance themselves from Bray? Does that strengthen the group? What happens? One positive to it would be that we would potentially get to see the Wyatts process as far as how they bring somebody into the family.
Right.
But because of PG television, we'll probably never see it. But that is something down the line that if they wanted to show that, they could by adding that fourth member of they take somebody and you see maybe the brainwashing process or you see what they do and what Bray uses to control someone. Mm-hmm. You know, especially Harper and Rowan, how he keeps that really tight grip on them.
Right.
And that sort of hypnotic trance, how he enacts that. But and as far as now, because they're still so early in their run in the company, I think it's a mistake to add a fourth member. And this, you know, and when the Shield first debuted, we had the same conversation with the Shield. Everybody wanted to see a fourth member added to the Shield. And it's like, it's not going to work. It's going to throw the dynamic off.
It's not needed. It really is not needed. You don't need, you're going to mess with the chemistry. Once you establish the chemistry, adding additional people screws it up. And we've seen that in the past for a lot of factions. When you add people, chemistry goes away. And if you add someone in, you're going to kill the chemistry completely of the Wyatts.
Right. And that's not what you want to do. If you're going to add a fourth member, and I'm going to piss off all the Wyatt fangirls here, I would rather see it be a girl, but I wouldn't want it to be a female wrestler. I would want her to be strictly a valet, and she's not even really associated. She's only associated with the family. She's not a member of the Wyatt family. She's sort of that lure that they use to draw somebody in, and then they can catch them. Mm-hmm. And she's sort of that little, almost that puppet-like character for Bray.
She's that temptress, as it were.
Right. But she is not a direct member of the family. She's outside the family, but they use her when they have to. Like that kind of character. But even then, that's really not necessary because right now you have to be able to prove that Bray Wyatt specifically, because he is the leader, can get the job done.
Right.
In the ring, out of the ring, he's got to be able to prove himself as a leader. And it feels like, at least right now, they seem to be having a very hard time writing that for him. I think if they just let him do what he was doing down in NXT, he'll be fine.
It's too early in the run to fully, you know, mess things up. They're still trying to establish them as we've mentioned, you know, on multiple shows. It's like, what kind of direction do they put the Wyatts in? And the one conclusion we sort of came up with last night, or it was the night before, I can't remember, was that their feuds never have a conclusion. The Kane feud really never had a conclusion. The feud with The Miz never had any sort of real conclusion to it. They just sort of moved on to something new without concluding anything. And that sort of stunted the growth of the Wyatts. And now they're put in a position, which we'll get into in a second, with CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. You want to know, is this a one thing? Or is it going to be more than that? We'll have to see. But they have a trouble. They've not concluded something where they've gained something from a feud.
Right, and they're getting to that point where they need to start gaining ground. They're starting to gain popularity. They're starting to get good fan reaction. Now they need to start gaining ground in their feuds. They need to start winning feuds. They need to start concluding things. And I think they just, at least as far as the group is concerned, got a little screwed because somebody got a wild hair in creative and decided, hey, we're just going to change everything. Because I think the original plan was that Kane was supposed to come back and he was supposed to feud with the Wyatts. And then they decided against it and went the direction that they're in now.
Right.
And so that obviously caused Kane's feud not to conclude. That obviously caused Miz's feud not to conclude. And they've just sort of kind of dropped it and forgotten about it, as has Bray Wyatt. And it's something of, you know, as meticulous as he is, he shouldn't. Mm-hmm. So, but that's another discussion for another day. I think we're kind of coming up on it, so we should probably get into Survivor Series, shouldn't we?
We're getting close to 2 hours here. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com. Remember, you can check out Total Divas, The Rack Extra tomorrow right here on both websites, Wild Talk Radio and RackRadioShow.com. And in just a few minutes, we will have our awesome announcement. But now, brought to you by MemelinePromo.com, it's Survivor Series preview and pick 'em. Remember, send all your picks to media at WildTalkRadio.com and the Facebook group at Facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadioNetwork, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, and the Twitters at WildTalkRadio. And if you're on the Tumblrs, maybe I'll do a pick 'em thing there on the Tumblrs as well. There you go.
You done?
I shield it all.
I'm so proud.
I got a bunch of shields in there. Come on now. Give me credit.
I'm so proud. You're such a corporate shill.
Damn right I am.
So we're starting with the opening contest, the Survivor Series kickoff match, where we have Kofi Kingston taking on the newly turned Miz.
Since he just recently turned on Monday Night Raw, which was a great turn. The fans sort of reacted to it. It was a nice turn, and it sort of started on the Twitter and on the WWE Backstage Access Fallout show on YouTube and on the house shows. But they finally put the turn on television. Miz turns on Kofi. It would be stupid not to have the Miz go over in this one. So my pick's the Miz.
I agree. It's something of, yeah, he just turned. You need to make him look strong if you want this to work. So, yeah, Miz goes over. You know, no offense to Kofi, but Kofi's relevance is really kind of waning.
Yeah, there was a report tonight from the NXT tapings. By the way, they've taped 200 episodes, over 200 episodes now of NXT. In all varieties, congratulations to WWE for that accomplishment. Well done.
Absolutely.
You can catch all the new episodes on Hulu and on your television stations internationally. But yeah, it's like Kofi's just Kofi, and the reason I plugged that was at the tapings tonight, he got no reaction. And they had to redo his match.
Yeah, that's never good.
That's never a good sign. So sorry, Kofi. You are going to lose to The Miz, who, Lindsay, did you know this, has a movie coming out.
Oh, we're doing this now?
We're doing this now.
Yes, yes, he does. He has a movie coming out for ABC Family next week.
It airs on ABC Family Tuesday night. Check it out, Christmas Bally. And you can hear all about it on The Rack Extra next week. Right here on WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com, because The Miz will be on The Rack Extra because it's awesome.
Yes, that's right. Tune in for The Rack Extra, which we will be airing. Note to people, tell your friends, we'll be putting it out on the Facebook, the Twitters, and the Tumblrs, that we will be airing the interview with The Miz before the Raw post show on Monday night.
So be here 10 minutes before normal time on Monday night, because we'll be airing the interview then.
Yes, and then it will be available in the archives after that. It's a little something extra we're doing for you guys, because we are not doing a show next week, because at least here in the U.S., it will be Thanksgiving. However, we're going to do a little bit of a wraparound for the interview for the archive, so if you want to listen to that, we'll be doing a little bit of a show, but not much of one.
Right. And plus, you get the rack extra. You're going to get plenty of us anyhow. You're pretty sick of us by the end of the week. Anyway, now, Lindsay, besides The Miz, there's something extra in the rack extra as well.
There's a little twist to this interview.
A little twist. Tell them about it.
We are going to be having not only The Miz, but we're going to be having his co-star as well.
Yes, we will. His co-star will be on the show, as Lindsay does not remember her name.
I remember the first name. I don't remember the last name, and I do apologize.
We will be joined by The Miz and Francia Rousa on the program. Tune in. The Rack Extra. There you go. They're both going to be on the show with us.
Yes, massive apologies to Francia Rousa. Massive, huge apologies.
Right.
He didn't warn me in advance so I could pull up the press release.
It's live rated. Got to deal with it. Anyway, by the way, it's all tentatively scheduled. Just want to put that out there. Tentatively scheduled. So if something comes up, they're not on the program, you know why. But it's tentatively scheduled.
Yeah. Tentatively scheduled, but we are fairly confident we will have the interview. So tell your friends. 10 minutes before the Raw post show Monday night, we will be airing the interview live for everybody, and then it will be available in the archives. We'll send it out after that. So stay tuned for that.
There'll be live on Monday before the post show, Tuesday on WildTalkRadio.com.
And RecRadioShow.com. So on that note, can we move on now?
We can move on. The what was announced during Triple H's weekly presser on WWE.com, Intercontinental Championships Online, the new champion Big E Langston defends against Curtis Axel.
I'm going Big E.
Yeah, Big E. Simple. Big E just won the belt. He's not dropping him back. Sorry, Curtis.
And they're pretty high on him right now, so Big E.
Big E. we'll go with this one. The 7-on-7 Divas Contest Elimination Match. It'll be Natalya, the Bella Twins, the Funkadactyls, JoJo, hashtag Where's JoJo, and Eva Marie against Divas Champion AJ Lee, Tamina Snuka, Caitlin, Aksana, Rosalind Mendez, Summer Rae, and Alicia Fox.
Seeing as Total Divas just got renewed and they're looking to push the Total Divas, I say the Total Divas win.
Total Divas win. Now I'm going to ask you another question. Who's the survivors?
Ooh, that's hard. I'm going to say AJ figures out a way to survive.
How? If the Total Divas wins, she can't survive. Winning team. Who survives on the
winning team?
Because if you're on the, you can't survive if you lose.
It's gonna come down to probably AJ or Tamina versus. I'll go with one of the Bellas.
So you have one of the Bellas being the sole survivor for their team?
Yes. If it's Eva Marie, you will hear an explosion.
Yes. I'm going with Total Divas as well. I will say Natty and the Bellas survive. So there you go. I picked 3 people to survive. 3. And Natty makes AJ tap out to a sharpshooter to end it. So there you go.
I just want to see somebody backhand Eva Marie. That's all I want.
Tamina, please, Tamina. All right, a couple things I don't want to see happen in this match. I don't want to see Eva Marie in the ring with Rosa Mendez or Aksana.
Oh, God.
That will be horrible. 3 syllables. I want to see JoJo perform. She can't get on TV on her own show. I want to see her perform in this match.
Yeah, I want to see JoJo wrestle. I'm really curious because I keep hearing things. And I hear she's actually better than Eva Marie, not by much, but I hear she's better. And I'm really curious about JoJo because it's like you said, she can't get on Total Divas much. We don't really know what's going on with her since the season, or this, yeah, the finale to the first half of the season. And so it's like, I want to see more of JoJo. I'm really curious. So yeah, I'd like to see her perform in this match.
I would also like to see how AJ and Caitlyn get along.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be intriguing. So it's not going to be a bathroom break. I actually have interest in seeing some of the stuff. And again, as we said in the tweets a week, you can't turn away from train wrecks.
Nope, you can't.
And that Eva Marie, she performs like Tony Romo in the fourth quarter. Oh!
Really?
I don't know.
You just gotta take shots, don't you?
First place Philadelphia Eagles right here. Just pointing that one out. Anyway, next on the list.
Next on the list, we have the WWE Tag Team Champions Cody Rhodes and Goldust, a.k.a. Coldust, the Usos and Rey Mysterio taking on the Shield, the Real American and the Real Americans in a traditional Survivor Series elimination tag team match.
We had a discussion about this, and this is one of the... This probably will be match of the night, probably, because you got a lot of good workers in this one. And Rey Mysterio, mm-hmm. who can limp to the ring. Rey's coming into this week. He's not ready to be back, but he's going to do the best he can. He'll be protected in this one.
Yeah, I say Rey's not in a lot.
No, he won't be in a lot, but he may be in the finish, but we'll get to that point in a second. When you look at, if you think about Survivor Series and Survivor Series past, it's always about who is the sole survivor. Who is that guy to make a name for himself coming out of a Survivor Series tag? Even though they don't put an emphasis on Survivor Series as they did in years past, if you look at a guy like Randy Orton for years, a couple times, he was a sole survivor for his team. And they pushed it, that fact, for a while. When it comes to this match, you look at the Usos. They're not going to survive. They're going to be eliminated.
Mm-mm.
You look at Goldust. He's not going to be... He's going to get eliminated. You look at the Real Americans. They're going to get eliminated. You look at Cody Rhodes. He's in a tag team right now. Could he use the win? Yes. But he's in a tag team right now. So he's not going to survive. That leaves Rey Mysterio. Okay. Real Americans, gone. Roman Reigns, gone. Seth Rollins, gone. I'm boiling this down to Dean Ambrose and Rey Mysterio. And for what is needed for the future, Dean Ambrose beats Rey Mysterio. And is the sole survivor for his team.
Get out of my head.
How am I in your head when I gave you... Anyway.
Because I was thinking Dean survives.
Alright, well, you heard my logic. Explain your logic.
My logic's pretty much on par with your logic. Looking at the teams, Cody and Goldust are your tag team champions. It doesn't make sense to have one of them be the sole survivor unless you're getting ready to split them up, which they're not planning to do. Same thing goes to the Usos. They're going to be gone. That leaves Rey Mysterio. He's obviously your singles choice. As far as the Shield and the Real Americans go, the Real Americans will be eliminated. And as far as the Shield goes, Reigns and Rollins are the tag team, and Dean is the singles. So you get rid of Reigns and Rollins, and you leave Dean. That leaves Dean and Rey. Rey is not ready to compete at a full level yet. I would actually expect for Rey to vanish after this is over and come back around Rumble time, I would bet. Just to give him as much time as he possibly has. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense to give Dean the win because it's one more thing that... It's one more feather that Dean can put under his cap. It fits the character. And when you're teasing the Shield breakup, which they're planning to do at some point, Dean's single success could be the catalyst for the group breaking up, especially since Dean is now starting to become bigger than the other two, bigger than the group. And as they've always said, there is no leader of the Shield. They're all three equal. Well, now they're not all three equal. Dean Ambrose still has his title. If Dean Ambrose becomes the sole survivor of Survivor Series, it's one more thing he can hold over Seth and Roman's head.
Right.
So it's for the future as far as setting up storylines, as far as, you know, what's needed to build Dean Ambrose. I say Dean Ambrose survives.
Well, there you go. So we're kind of on the same page on that one. Up next, CM Punk and Daniel Bryan team together to take on Eric Rowan and Luke Harper of the Wyatt family with Bray Wyatt in the corner, Lindsay.
Yes. I have to go with my boys. I have to go with the Wyatts on this one. This is Harper and Rowan's debut on pay-per-view as a tag team, and yes, they've already been handed a loss on SmackDown, but the Wyatts need the win on pay-per-view to keep them strong, and Bryan and Punk can really take the loss, especially if they want to continue this feud. So I say you have Harper and Rowan go over Bryan and Punk.
Huh. This is tough. It's like it's not as clear-cut as you think it would be. On either side, I have reasons I can think of for both sides to win. It's pay-per-view. It's CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. I get the feeling CM Punk and Daniel Bryan win here. And that will leave Bray Wyatt and the Wyatts looking more for revenge come Monday night. Because if they win, it's sort of... I think the feud loses something. Rowan and Harper need the win, but I'm giving it to Punk and Bryan.
Little dissension in the groups.
Yes, we finally have picked a different person in this time around. About time. Because, you know, this means Lindsay's going to get them all right, or you know, at least, you know, as many as one more right than me, because that's just the way it happens.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, World Heavyweight Championship is on the line. The champ, John Cena versus Alberto Del Rio.
Oh, Cena. Hands down, Cena.
Yeah, John Cena. There's not much to say. I want this feud to end.
Well, I mean, truth be told, it's like Del Rio's trying. And I said it, I think, Monday night. I want to like Del Rio. And by like, I mean hate him. I mean, I really want to believe in Del Rio as a heel. But no matter what I do and no matter what he does, I just can't. I can't buy him as a legit threat to John Cena. Like, that's the thing. It's like there is no legit threat to John Cena because he's John freaking Cena. And that's the thing. It's just like you can't take anybody as a legit threat, especially Del Rio, who's not the strongest heel to begin with. It's like every time I see Alberto Del Rio, especially as a heel, I miss it when he had Ricardo with him. Because I'm sorry, the best thing about Del Rio being heel was Ricardo.
Yeah.
And it's just Del Rio on his own. I think he just lacks the charisma.
He does lack charisma, yeah.
So it's just like, I want to buy Del Rio as a legit threat. I want to buy him as a heel, but I just can't. And it's something of, they're going to move John Cena onto somebody else. And especially now that they're starting to look towards WrestleMania 30. You know, they're going to move John Cena onto bigger and better. So I say John Cena stays with the title. Stays champion.
Yeah, the champ retains. Easy, simple. And now, your main event of the evening. The WWE champion, the face of WWE, Randy Orton, against The Big Show. Randy. Randy wins. Interference from Kane. Even though they say there's no interference, Kane wins. Kane helps Randy win.
as much as I want to see Big Show win, just to screw with the authority, he's not going to. It's something of, because, and plus the internet will explode because it's like you did all that stuff with Daniel Bryan only to put the title on Big Show. That doesn't make any sense. So yeah, I say through shenanigans of some kind.
Because they want to promise everyone there will be no shenanigans, and that when the paper becomes their shenanigans, because that's the way they do things. Randy keeps the belt.
Yeah, Randy stays champion. They're going to keep Randy champion potentially until at least Rumble, if not Mania.
Right, and that makes sense.
And that makes complete sense, you know, just have Randy be a long-standing champion at least for a little bit. But yeah, so there is your Survivor Series in a nutshell.
That is your Survivor Series in a nutshell. Like I said, send pics to media@wildtalkradio.com, facebook.com/wildtalkradio network, facebook.com/group/wildtalkradio network, and twitter.com/wildtalkradio, and facebook.com/WTRTheRack.
So that leads just our question of the night, which is, what is your favorite Survivor Series moment?
We've got everything from the screw job in Montreal to the Undertaker's debut, and Survivor Series 1990 with an explanation of all the survivors from all the matches had matches participating in a bonus match. It was Rick Martel's team and Ted DiBiase. Rick Martel's team and Ted DiBiase versus Hogan, Warrior, and Tito Santana. Wish they would have kept doing that. So, and we have the gobbledygooker from Tommy in the chat room. This is where I'll turn it over to you, Lindsay, first. What is your favorite moment from Survivor Series?
Because it's the only one that comes directly to mind, Taker's debut. Just because, again, it's the only one that comes to mind.
Right.
And that's pretty much it. I mean, and plus it's the birth of a legend. It's like you look at the way Taker came out, and it's so, you look at him then and you think of him now, and it's just, it's the complete and total polar opposite. So it's kind of funny. But yeah, I'm going to go with Taker's debut.
Yeah, Taker's debut is an easy one. All right, this is where I have a few. Wow, Winamp's closing. That's not good for us. So when I think Survivor Series, I think elimination matches. That's what I think about. And I go back to a time back in the mid-90s, 94, 95. That's when I really got into watching pay-per-views. I remember, like, the first pay-per-view we got was SummerSlam 94, but after that was Survivor Series 94, which was a really good show. Really, really good show. But you always had the elimination matches, and one of the moments I remember is, like, the start of the breakup of Shawn and Diesel. And it started in a Survivor Series tag where Shawn and Diesel, Jeff Jarrett, and Owen Hart, and I believe one other person could have been, and they were against Razor and a few others. And the moment in the match where Diesel was holding up Razor, and he, you know, Shawn to kick him. Shawn kicked him once, and then he wanted to do it one more time, or something like to that effect. And Diesel reluctantly holds him up, and Shawn misses the kick. Shawn misses the kick, hits Diesel, and lays him out. And Diesel gets a mad, and they get count. Their entire team gets counted out because, and Jim Danville was with them as well. The entire team gets counted out basically because they were trying to stop Diesel from killing Shawn. It was one of those moments where you remember, it's like, it's one of those moments I truly remember growing up as a wrestling fan back in the day. There was other ones, yeah, again, it's going to be sent around Shawn, but it was like 95. He was coming off his concussion. Or they started, actually, he was beat up in the Syracuse, New York, and it was right before the concussion angle. And he comes, because I remember this, I was supposed to go see a house show 4 days later, and he wasn't there because what happened that Monday on Raw, where he did the whole concussion angle. But it's like, Diesel, like, they redid sort of the moments, like, this is where they had a teams of, like, enemies were partners, basically. And there was a moment where, and they did the moment where he was holding up, Sid Vicious was holding up Razor, I think it was, and Shawn went for the kick. And Sean goes for the kick. Razor ducks again, hits Sid. Sean's like, shrugs his shoulders, like, eh, whatever. Eh, I hit him, whatever. Doesn't really matter. And then the one other moment that really sticks out is Survivor Series 94. Bret Hart versus Bob Backlund. It's like, you talk about an old school wrestling match from the mid-90s. That's it right there. Because, let's think about this. You had Owen Hart at ringside. You had Bret Hart's parents at ringside, in the crowd, right in the front row, right?
Mm-hmm.
And think about this today, how short attention span people are, right? They had Bret Hart in the crossface chicken wing for over 9 minutes.
Wow.
For over 9 minutes. And you just see Owen Hart. He's my brother. He's my brother. Throw in the towel. Mom, throw in the towel. Please. Please. Begging. Begging. And then, you know, tries to stop. And it's just like... Like, he, you see the emotion from Owen. You see the emotion from the parents. And then finally, Martha... Martha? No, that's Owen's wife. What the hell is her name? Anyway, Bret's mom throws in the towel. And the match ends. It was drama personified. Today, you could never do that because people, after 2 minutes, would lose attention spans. Helen, thank you, Kinkins. Helen Hart. People's attention spans would be dead for a hold like that, but 9 minutes in a hold, it was like drama, drama, drama. Those are my memories from Survivor Series, and that's why I was hoping they'd do something really good with this year. And they, you know, we'll see how it turned out. But moments like that are moments I remember. You also got Undertaker and Yoko with Chuck Norris and the screw job as mentioned. But to me, what personified Survivor Series was moments like that.
Awesome. Yeah, it's like I have moments from Survivor Series, but they don't come to mind just because a lot tends to happen at Survivor Series, and also it's...
Right.
It's not one of my favorite pay-per-views.
I'm going to tell you a moment has nothing to do with the actual show. But I'm just going to say this moment. Rey Mysterio wins.
Oh, the first time he won the title?
No. He won the... Was it for the title? I don't remember. Or was it the tag match? Yeah, it was the tag match. Apartment C-23.
Oh, my lord, I remember that. Oh, my goodness gracious.
No one else, but I think Mace would get that reference, but there you go.
If Omega's still listening, Omega would get it, but yeah. Yeah. I remember that rant.
That had nothing to do with the show itself, but yeah. Those were memories. And hell. You know, when I was younger, I didn't, you know, never got all the pay-per-views, and, you know, really didn't start wearing papers before, you know, 94 and stuff. The best moments were going back, renting videos of old Survivor Series, like 92 and 91 and all that fun stuff.
See, the match that stands out in my mind, and everybody's going to roll their eyes about it, is the Alliance versus Team WWE. Or then Team WWF.
Team WWF versus Alliance. Yeah, that was a good one.
I remember that match. It stands out in my mind just because I remember them putting that team together, at least for Team WWF, and how, you know, absolutely awkward it was, and how none of them wanted to be together, but they had to, because they had to take down the Alliance. They had to stop the Alliance, and that was the capper to that feud, where it's like, you knew Team WWF was going to win, but it's like, I remember that, you know, monumental occasion, because I think that was the match where everybody was sitting backstage in both locker rooms watching this match. And they kept cutting back and forth between the match and the locker rooms to show the victory.
Right.
You know, or show the reactions to the eliminations and then finally the victories. And I can't remember or not. I just remember that feud because it was one of the first feuds that really caught my attention as far as the Alliance versus the WWF at the time.
And the reason that catches your attention, you should give the little backstory. You were there when the Alliance was really formed.
Yeah, I was actually there when the Alliance really debuted, when ECW invaded the WWE. I was there that night when that happened because I walked literally like right in front of them as they were coming in. Like they came down right by us and I had gone to get something to eat and I was coming back and like in was walking, you know, all the ECW wrestlers, including like Heyman and the Dudleys and
Taz, like Dreamer,
Taz and Dreamer, and
yeah,
they were all there, and it was like holy crap, something's about to happen.
Yeah, another memory again. You gotta realize Sean was like one of my favorite wrestlers, so it's gonna tie into Sean. 2002, the first Elimination Chamber, he comes back and wins the World Heavyweight Title. That was an awesome match, where Triple H gets his vocal cords basically broken by Van Damme landing on him for the Frog Splash. Oops.
Mm-hmm.
That was a cool moment. King Kins brings up the Knights of the Round Table, the Doinks versus the King and his Knights, the Midgets, Queasy, Sleazy, and Cheesy. Doink, Wink. Doink, Dink, Wink, and Pink were the Doink Clowns. Oh, he says Doinks and the Knights. That was the, he had the Doinks and he had other Knights, yeah. But there was also the Midget one as well. Yeah, it's, Survivor Series used to be awesome. It used to be one of those moments. It used to be one of those big four events. And it misses that feel because the way wrestling is today isn't what it was back then.
I'm trying to remember, and I don't know. I don't remember if it happened or Survivor Series.
Taker
versus Vince in the Buried Alive match. That was Survivor Series. I remember that. That's another match. Sorry, big Taker fangirl. Can't help it. That stands out in my head because it was like that match in particular. What we all know what that led to, which was the return to the dark side and the fact that you had Kane turn on the Undertaker and actually help Vince McMahon bury the Undertaker alive, mm-hmm, and defeat the Undertaker. But I just remember that match because Taker beat Vince like a freaking government mule.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, he busted Vince wide open. Mm-hmm. And I will never, as long as I live, forget Taker literally putting Vince on his shoulders and carrying him like he's nothing to the gravesite. Like, nothing. Like, you know, Taker just picks up Vince, you know, probably a 250-pound man, and just carries him. Like, he weighs nothing. Like, holy crap!
That was, what, 2004, 2005?
That was 2003, because when Taker came back at 20...
Right, yeah.
...to face Kane, and that was when Paul Bearer came back, and he came back in the Dead Man gimmick. Because that Buried Alive match was the death of the American Badass.
Right, yeah. So, as you notice, there's, like, everything from 2003 and older, we don't sort of, like, there's no moment that really stands out. Everything before then, when the pay-per-view mattered, kind of, sort of, we remember.
Yeah. So, those are just some of the Survivor Series memories. Hopefully more will be made Sunday night.
Hopefully. Crossing fingers. Yoko and Chuck Norris and that stuff. And yeah, there's been some great moments at Survivor Series, and hopefully more continue. Hell, Bret Hart and Steve Austin, the first time they squared off, Survivor Series 96.
Yep.
Where Bret rolled up Steve Austin and he still had the submission locked in. The Million Dollar Dream. That's another monumental moment right there. So, it's... Survivor Series was cool back in the day. Hell, Deadly Games 98. The tournament. We saw the debut of Gilbert. Dwayne Gill. Mick Foley and the Corp get screwed. The second screw job in Survivor Series history. Where Vince basically, you know, screwed Foley.
Yeah, but it's not as epic as Brett.
It's not as epic as Brett. And then again, there's, again, Montreal Screwjob.
That's my one complaint about the 50 DVD, is they didn't get Taker to talk about the screwjob. He didn't talk about it. He talked about a lot of other stuff, but he didn't talk about the screwjob.
Right.
It's like, oh man, I would have loved to have heard his reaction to that. But I'm pretty sure it's Mark. Don't bring it up. Just don't bring it up.
Yeah.
So anyway. So yes, by the way, if you have not gotten the 50 Years of WWE DVD, check it out. It's definitely worth the watch. It's got a lot of really cool, neat footage that probably a lot of people have never seen before.
Right.
It's got some wonderful interviews with a lot of names. There's some really great insights into the WWE and to really into the wrestling business itself. So definitely worth the watch. Check it out if you can.
Yes.
I'll probably see what matches are on it tomorrow, but I at least wanted to watch the doc because the documentary is 2 hours long.
Yes, and there's over 4 or 5 hours of matches and extras and stuff. A couple of matches on it include the Screwjob and Brett and not Brett, Shawn and Taker from WrestleMania 25.
Ooh, that's always a fun match to watch.
It is, and there's a bunch of older matches as well. So buy it now, the history of WWE 50 years.
So on that note, we're going to go ahead and wrap this little shindig up. And I believe, Rock, you have stuff to shill.
Tomorrow afternoon, the Rock Extra Total Divas season 1.5, episode 11. We'll review that. You can check it out at rockradioshow.com and wildtalkradio.com. 9 p.m. Eastern, WTR Games Garage with Mace. Check it out. He'll be going through the final matches in WWE 2K14's 30 Years of WrestleMania. So you want to go watch Mace explode when he has to be The Rock to beat John Cena, and then John Cena to beat The Rock? Tune in tomorrow night. Rage.
That should be interesting.
Rage will probably happen, because I know the final match. Yeah. Counter City, ladies and gentlemen. Saturday night, midnight is. It is CB Radio, your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night. The weird, the wacky, the unusual. We will be talking all about different weird things, including people being fucking stupid when it comes to hit and runs. I'm going off that teaser Ace gave me. So there you go. Plus, the word of the year. We will be discussing the word of the year.
Selfie.
We will get their opinions on that. So much more CB Radio. The weird, the wacky, the unusual. Midnight is. And before then, well, we poke fun at King Kittens. It's Cards Against Humanity, folks. Be there. Watch us poke fun. Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. It is WTR Sunday night. All the gang will be there to cover WWE Survivor Series. Tune in. Don't want to miss it. Monday night. Again, we're on post-show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. 10 minutes before, 10 minutes earlier scheduled, you'll hear from The Miz. Yes, The Miz, our interview with The Rack Extra with The Miz, will be airing 10 minutes before the Raw post-show. Speaking of The Rack Extra, it will air Tuesday on wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com. You will also get another episode of Total Divas, The Rack Extra, as well, that week as well, since we won't be on the air next Thursday. You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, WTRProductions.net, Facebook.com/CigaretteButtsAndBandanas, Twitter.com/CBRadioWTR.
We good?
Yes.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Lins Ward, LINSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. On my website, under the Contact Us link, there is a link to my Redbubble store. If you like my artwork, if you've ever seen my artwork, you can purchase this at my Redbubble store. There are select pieces available. And, well, if you need a little help browsing, there are pictures available. You can also check out my Behance, behance.net/Lins Ward, with the majority of my artwork up and available. So definitely check that out. Check out all the interviews we've done at recradioshow.com. Go to CassidyRiley.net for all your Cassidy Riley needs. Again, a big birthday shout-out to Cassidy. Another one to, I guess, Jaegers and, I don't know, Tom Tom Club and whatever the hell they went out on finally. Scott Barry, congratulations. You're another year older, you old fart. Because it's officially his birthday now.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's not officially his birthday. His birthday's on the 24th, but happy birthday to him, because I probably won't be able to give him a shout-out before then. So, happy birthday, you old fart. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Don't forget to check out all our sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, and, of course, MimLanePromo.com. So we will not see you next week, so if you're in the U.S. or you celebrate Thanksgiving, have a very happy and safe Thanksgiving. I hope everybody enjoys it. You're going to get to hear horror stories from me because I'm cooking a turkey for the first time ever without adult supervision. There's going to be stories, people. Trust me. There's going to be stories. So on that note, we are going to take our leave, and we will see you with the Miz interview, with the Rob Post show, and, well, in 2 weeks with The Rack. Until then, bye.